Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Verse number 30 is where we're going to pick up today. We're working our way through these various Proverbs of Solomon. It's a resource tool that's intended to be memorized as needed to learn how to think properly, according to God's wisdom, according to God's way of approaching life. So I hope you've got your little notepad so that you can jot down some references that you can memorize, and then maybe even pass some on to other people that you think would benefit from it. So Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, "Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts." This is a reference to corporal punishment, which was part of the society of the Israelis. The court systems could assign what amounted to public spankings for those that would not do the right thing just because it was the right thing to do. And those spankings could be anywhere from one swat with a kind of a pliable cane all the way up to 40 for repeat offenders. And the idea was it might wound, it might leave a mark. Now, not a permanent mark, that was never the intention, but it might leave a bruise or a big welt for a while, but the idea was that maybe, just maybe, that pain would reset the thinking of the person to do the right thing the next time around. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of he who is. He turns it wherever he will." Now that's the ideal. Solomon and the other kings, and we could think of leaders of all sorts in our context, they were supposed to consider themselves pliable in the hands of the Lord. Wherever it is God wanted them to go, whatever it is that God wanted them to do, they would turn that direction. So I hope that we've got good leaders that would do that instead of fighting against the will of the Lord. Verse number 2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but he who is weighs the heart." People tend to think that what they want to do is okay. I think about the book of Judges that we went through quite a bit ago, that the problem was there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did as he saw fit in his own eyes. And of course, that's never a good thing when everybody's doing their own thing. So instead, we need to consider here that the Lord is weighing our hearts, our choices, and we ought to make choices that He would want us to make. Verse number 3, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to he who is than sacrifice." Now that kind of reminds me of the story of Saul, who disobeyed God in dealing with the Amalekites and brought back some of the animals to be sacrificed. And Samuel basically tells him, to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. Well, that's what this proverb is bringing out. God is not looking for you to give him something. He wants you to do what he's told you to do, rather than just come up with your own way of worship. Verse number 4, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin." So this self-centeredness, this I'm going to do it my way no matter what, that's just the light coming out of a wicked lifestyle. And that's all sin, and so it needs to be avoided. Verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." This is the one of the ones against a quick get-rich-quick schemes. The constant and steady application of work is going to pay the bills. not throwing a whole bunch of money into some sort of scheme that is supposed to make you wealthy. More often than not, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And so the encouragement here is don't get sucked in to those sorts of things. Just be steady in your work. Verse number 6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. So lying to get rich, lying to get your way, is a lie, and that's going to bring judgment. And so you shouldn't look at the short-term gains that you might get from it. You should think of the long-term things you might lose because of it. Verse 7, the violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to do what is just. So when unrighteous people do unrighteous things, they think they're going to get benefit from that for themselves. But what they're actually doing is just building up a case against them for eternity, where God is going to have to deal with their sin. And so this is a warning proverb to don't go down that route, because the short-term gain is not worth the long-term loss. Verse 8, the way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. We understand these more metaphors of straight and narrow and crooked and bent. We want to be the right shape for God. Verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And so here is a marriage proverb, the idea that you need to work things out with your spouse. We could flip the gender here and it'd still be fine. If you are starting to feel as if you'd rather hide out in the man cave or be out hiding, here they use the idea of the rooftop, that's out on the patio for them, than to spend any time with your wife or your husband because they just always are at you, always bickering with you, then escaping momentarily is not going to be your solution. The real solution is find out what the problem is. Talk to her, talk to him, work it out, get some counseling assistance, because that's not the life of marriage that God wants for you. Okay? So work it out. Verse 10. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. So wicked people are usually in pursuit of their own self-centered purposes. And so they don't treat other people well. And so that's a negative, and that this is a proverb to say basically don't be that way. Verse 11, when a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. This is talking about the two ways of adopting a pattern of good behavior. The better way is the second one, and that is when somebody tells you that something is inappropriate, you acknowledge that and adjust your behavior. That's wise. But if you won't adjust your behavior just because it's the right thing to do, then society is left with nothing but to give you a negative consequence to hopefully extinguish that behavior. So corporal punishment is what verse 11, the first part, has in mind here, is when troublemakers keep causing trouble, they get a spanking. Verse number 12, the righteous one observes the house of the wicked. He throws the wicked down to ruin. Now, the righteous one here is probably God, who is evaluating everything. And eventually, either in this world or in the world to come, he will bring judgment and condemnation on those that do wrong things. Verse 13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Now, some people would say this is kind of like karma. And I suppose kind of in the most generic sense of that, it's what goes around comes around. If you are rude and unfeeling and uncaring toward other people, when hard times come to you, people who know you are going to be less prone to treat you kindly because they've known how you've treated other people. It's the whole point behind the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if you want mercy, be merciful. If you want kindness and compassion, be kind and compassionate. Otherwise, you may find yourself getting exactly what you gave to others. Verse number 14. A gift in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe strong wrath. Now, there's two things that is brought out by this idea of bribe or gift. And this is the better one. This is the proper one. And that is you give in order to repair a relationship or make a relationship better. The old tip system was when you went into a restaurant, you gave somebody a little extra cash up front so that they would do good things for you, treat you well, and make sure everything went well for your night. That was a motivator. That's fine. That's good. And that's the one it's talking about here. The other one is the bribe, which tries to change justice, to go against what should happen just because of cash involved. So here, it's the repair of a relationship. We'd almost call this remuneration. When you've harmed someone else in some way, been a detriment to their life, one of the best ways that you can say, I'm sorry, is to make up for it, to give them something of value, to make up for your bad behavior. Okay, verse number 15. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Now, justice is God's justice. It's doing the right thing at the right time in the right way. And when that happens, people who love God are happy to see that take place. But people who don't like God's standards, that ticks them off. And that's to be expected. Verse 16, one who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. So just another way of saying bad behavior will often get you killed. Poor choices will often get you killed. So you need to think before you act and to follow the rules and follow the procedures that'll keep you safe. Verse 17, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So if you're always in celebratory mode, if you're always spending everything that comes in on pleasures and joy, in the sense of eating and drinking and other ways of just spending your money, then you're never going to have any money to put away, and so you'll never become rich in that sense of more than enough. So it's a warning against excessive behavior. Verse number 18, the wicked is a ransom for the righteous and the traitor for the upright. Now this gets to the idea of the blessings and the cursings of God in the book of Deuteronomy that Moses gave to them, that when they lived according to the covenant, God would bless them. And if they lived against the covenant, God would curse them. And if they were being blessed, then bad things would only happen to bad people. If they were being cursed, then a lot of bad things would be happening. And so in this case, we're thinking about a time period when the people are blessed. And so wicked people are the ones that bad things are happening to. Traitors are the ones that are getting in trouble and having to pay penalties rather than the righteous people. verse number 19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. So again, we've already talked about this. It's talking about marital relationships. And if they've got a problem and you're being tempted to escape that problem by just staying away from the person that you're married to, that's not the good choice. Yes, it is a resolution, but it is not a proper resolution. You need to work on what's causing this breakdown of communication and relationship. Verse 20, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. This gets to that consumption culture idea again. Wise people don't just spend up everything they get. They lay aside for the future. Verse 21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. So what you look for, you're probably going to find. So if you're looking for good stuff, God stuff, holy things, righteous things, good things, then that is going to pay off and you will find those sorts of things. Now, that's not always easy. It takes commitment, it takes attention, but it is worth it in the end. Verse 22, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Now, this is a metaphor. There was an earlier proverb that I think we talked about last week that people who are wise are stronger than people that take over cities by war. And so here we've got a wise man who is doing exactly that. He's winning the arguments. He's winning the hearts and souls of other people. Verse 23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Control of the tongue, control of the speech is important. Book of James. James was clearly someone who loved the wisdom literature. He talked about the tongue being this restless evil, this wild beast, this untamed beast that will cause fires of hell to descend upon your life. Well, we need to let God, through His Holy Spirit, through our redemption, control our tongues, control our mouths, and keep us out of trouble. Verse 24, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. So scoffers are those that mock and make fun of everybody else and their actions and their choices. And he bases it on what he would do. And so it's all very self-centered. Verse 25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. So this proverb is a laziness proverb. The idea that lazy people, they've got all this stuff they want. It's me, 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 mine, 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 mine. But they don't do the proper work that is necessary to get it. And often they engage in selfish behavior where they won't even share with other people the few things they do have. But that's not the way it is with righteous people. Righteous people, they work so that they can pay their bills, plus, as the New Testament says, have a little bit extra that they can help other people out with. And that's the godly heart that we should all be shooting for. Verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? So wicked people, when they do give a sacrifice, God's really not interested in it because they're still acting wickedly. They're just going through the motions. But it's even worse if the person thinks that he's manipulating God. There's some people that think they can do that, that if they kick some money into the church, that God owes them one. God owes them a favor. Well, no, he doesn't. And what a horrendous thinking process to believe that you can manipulate God like that. And so that's this proverb is a warning to think that God's going to owe you based on your worship life, because that's not the reason why you worship. Verse number 28, a false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. Now, when it talks about a man who hears here, it means an obedient man, a man who hears the word of God and does it. So false witnesses, people who say things that are not true, they're facing God's judgment. But people who hear and act upon the word of God, they're going to be sticking around throughout eternity with God. Verse 29, a wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright man gives thought to his ways. So this is the idea of putting on an act. Wicked people very often take on this persona, this story, this legend, in order to get their way. The con artists will do this all the time. They'll present themselves as something more than what they really are. But upright people, righteous people, they think about what they're going to do before they do it. They evaluate what they're going to do by what God would want them to do. And so the point is that upright people are much more trustworthy than the hypocrites who put on an act just to get their own way. Verse 30. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against he who is. So if God is for us, who can be against us? And if people are against God, which of them are going to win? None of them are, because God is God. Verse 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to he who is. The Israelis had been warned repeatedly in the past to not put their trust in horses, not to put their trust in chariots, but to put their trust in God. And so that's what this proverb is about. Chapter 22, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Reputation, a godly reputation, is a much more valuable thing to have than silver, gold, precious stones. So cultivate your honor. Verse 2, the rich and the poor meet together. He who is the maker of them all. So everybody has this in common. We're all made in the image of God. All of us are expected to be holy as he is holy. And all of us will be judged by him. It doesn't matter how much you've got or how little you've got. You still answer to God. Verse 3. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So prudent people are the ones who are living by God's wisdom. They are evaluating things around them based on God's word. And so they very often see things about to happen that are bad before they happen. Simple people, people who are just living for the moment, they're not paying attention. And so they're the ones that often get in trouble. Verse 4, the reward for humility and fear of he who is riches and honor and life. Now, that's a rule of thumb thing that's definitely associated with the time period that Solomon is writing this in. Israel, for the most part, was following the covenant, and so the promises from Deuteronomy were that he was going to bless extremely those who were following his covenant standards. And so that's what this proverb indicates. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. So the path that is sinful has got a lot of trouble on it. So you want to make sure you stay off that path. And then we'll finish with one that I think is very commonly misunderstood. And that's verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, too many people take this as some sort of promise from God that if they'll teach their kids when they're young about Christianity, that they'll be Christians when they're old. That's actually not what it's promising. That is an interesting principle, but what it's really saying here is you need to consider your children and what is their aptitude? What is it they're good at? And train them in that area, work with them in that area, and then they will work in that vocation for their entire life because that's what they're suited for.